Well, earlier this week, I was on Facebook, and a friend of mine shared this graphic that I thought was actually kind of true. I don't like to over-explain visual jokes, but right, there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who like to, you know, make sure everything is under control. Right, the gas tank gets to about two-thirds of the way, and they got to go fill it up. And then there are those of us who, we take great pride in letting the countdown of how many miles are left in our tank switch over to go get gas now. All right, some of us are what we might call type A people. All right, who are my type A people here this morning? Good chunk of us, right? We like to make sure that we've got everything in order, everything all arranged, everything taken care of. And then there are others of us who we might call ourselves type B. Although in my experience, I don't know too many people who say, I'm a type B person, right? Lots of us might say, I'm a type A person. Not many of us will be like, oh, I'm type B. I think reality is all of us are a little bit of a mix of both type A and type B. Right, we all have parts and pieces of us that are a little bit more type A, parts and pieces of ourselves that we like to just make sure we have in order and all taken care of, and parts and pieces of our lives where we're maybe a little more okay with just going with the flow and letting things happen and come to us when they do. And I think because of that, there's something universal that all of us have certain things that we long for. Whether we're type A or type B, whether we are control everything or sort of let everything come to us, whether we err more on the side of type A or err more on the side of type B, I think all of us, to some extent, we want to make sure that we're taken care of. We want to make sure that the basic things that we need are taken care of. We want to make sure that we're okay, that our family's okay, that we can provide for those in our care, right? We want to be okay. And I think that all of us, to some extent, all of us want to do something of meaning, right? Whether that's our job, right? For some of us, our job just brings tremendous meaning and value to our life because we know that through what we are doing day after day after day, we are making a difference in the world. We're saving lives. We're impacting people. For some of us, maybe that's our family, right? And that's a wonderful place and a wonderful way that we can make a difference in the world, that we can just bring more love and goodness into the world through the way that we care for our family. For some of us, right, maybe we find that meaning in ways that we serve, in ways that we try to give back to the community. Right, but I think all of us, to some extent, whether we're type A or type B, whether we like to control things or whether we just sort of let things happen, I think all of us, we want to make sure that we're taken care of and we want to make some sort of difference in the world. And as I was reflecting on those questions and thinking about this morning and thinking about Easter Sunday, I found myself wondering, what does Easter Sunday have to do with those two basic desires? What does Easter have to say about that desire that things would be sort of taken care of and in control? And what does Easter have to say about that desire to make a difference in the world? Right, because we're all reminded this week that there are no guarantees in life. Right, maybe you, like I, watched or saw videos on social media of the spire of the Cathedral of Notre Dame crashing to the ground. There are no guarantees in life. Even an 800-year-old building can catch fire and crash to the ground. A 37-year-old mom can be diagnosed with breast cancer. A 35-year-old can be driving on his way to work and have a heart attack. A relationship that we thought was going fine can suddenly come crashing to an end. There are no guarantees in life. And in a world in which there are no guarantees in life, and yet we want to have some measure of knowing that we're okay and taken care of, a world in which there are no guarantees in life, and yet we want to make some sort of difference in this world, I think it's a key and important question to ask ourselves. What does Easter have to do with that? Why should we come to church on Easter? What difference does it make? And I think and I hope what we're going to see today is that it makes all the difference. It means everything. But, and this is a very important but we don't have to have it all figured out. Easter changes everything, but we don't have to have it all figured out. So that's what I hope that we're going to see this morning, that Easter changes everything, but we don't have to have it all figured out. And we're going to see that as we look together at the story of Easter as found in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, this is the story that we read. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So we jump into this morning's story. We jump into the story of Jesus rising from the dead. We jump into it after a whole bunch of other things have happened. Right? So in the story of Jesus, we know, by the way, we know that Jesus was a real person. Right? If you're here and you're not sure, Jesus was a real person. The historical record, there is no question Jesus existed. There's no question Jesus died. Jesus lived 2,000 years ago in ancient Israel, and he walked and he taught and he lived in that world, and he was crucified, killed by the religious leaders under the authority of the Roman Empire. And so when we pick up the story here in Matthew chapter 28, it is 3 days after Jesus was crucified, 3 days after Jesus has died and has been buried. As far as everybody knows, Jesus is dead. And the story begins with women going to the tomb to look at it. And I think that's a really important detail that we shouldn't skip. Because the women who are going to the tomb here in Matthew chapter 28, they aren't going to the tomb to start a new religion. The women who are going to the tomb in Matthew chapter 28, they are not going to the tomb expecting to see Jesus alive. They are not going to the tomb because they think anything is going to be different. They are going to the tomb for a very ordinary, everyday reason: to look at it. Because they're sad. Because their teacher and friend has died. Easter begins in the reality of ordinary, everyday life. Easter begins in the reality of ordinary, everyday life. Right, for some of us, we know this reality of the women who are going to the tomb. For some of us, we know the reality of grief. And we're asking ourselves those questions: what difference does it make? How do I make sure that things are taken care of? We're asking ourselves in the middle of a period of grief. Because we can't gather with family or friends. We can't come to church. We can't go about our daily life without being reminded of the hole in our heart and the hole in our life that was left by our spouse. The hole in our life where our child was. The hole in our life where a parent was. For some of us, the everyday, ordinary reality of life for us is grief. For some of us, the ordinary, everyday reality of life is just routine and busy. Right? It's wake up, try to get the kids out the door in some measure of timely fashion, try to get them to school at least somewhat on time, and try not to yell at them too many times on the way out the door, right? For some of us, the reality, ordinary daily life, is just wake up, go to work, and try to find some sort of meaning in it. For some of us, the reality, the ordinary daily routine in which we live, is just plain routine. But Easter meets us in the ordinary. The women don't go to the tomb expecting to see Jesus alive. The women don't go to the tomb to start a new religion. The women don't go to the tomb for any reason other than an ordinary, everyday reason of they miss their teacher and friend and they want to go look at the tomb and mourn. Easter meets us in the ordinary. But out of the ordinary, something extraordinary happens. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. He said, "Do not be afraid. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." Out of the ordinary, something extraordinary happens. Out of the ordinary, an angel comes down with this amazing news that Jesus, who was dead, is not dead any longer, that Jesus, who was crucified, is risen, that Jesus, who had been buried in the tomb, that he is alive. And here's where I lose some of you. Because for some of us, it's too much. We can acknowledge that, yes, there was this man named Jesus. He was a teacher. He lived some 2,000 years ago. He walked, he talked, he did all of this stuff. But when we start saying that this Jesus is alive, well, that crosses a line. But, you know, I don't actually think that's the hardest one for many of us. The reality is there have been way too many people throughout the ages who have encountered the risen Jesus in one way, manner, shape, or form. The reality is that every single one of Jesus' followers, every single one of the remaining 11 disciples who followed Jesus went to their death rather than deny that they had met the risen Jesus. Every single one of them. Every single one of Jesus' closest followers refused to deny that Jesus was alive. I don't think that's the hardest part for us to accept. I think where I'm going to lose some of you is that I'm going to tell you that the central message of the Christian faith is not a list of rules to be kept. That the central point of the Christian faith is not about becoming a better person. That the central message of the Christian faith is not primarily a set of ideas to believe. Christianity at its heart is not about morality. Right, do I believe that if you follow Jesus that you're going to experience a transformation in your heart and in your life? Absolutely. Do I believe that if you give your life over to Jesus that you are going to begin to see things differently? 100%. But that is not the central point of the Christian faith. That is not the central message of Easter morning. The central message of Easter morning is not about a set of rules to follow, or a set of beliefs to hold to, or a set of things to do. The central message of Christianity, the central message of Easter morning, is a person, Jesus Christ, who is alive, who is risen from the dead, who has conquered sin and death. And when we follow Jesus, we acknowledge him as Lord of our lives. We give ourselves over to him. The heart of Christianity is not a set of rules to keep. It's not a set of morality to follow. It's not a self-help to become a better person by tomorrow. It is about following the person of Jesus. But Christianity also isn't just about eternal salvation. Some of us have been told that the Christian faith is only about being forgiven so that we can go to heaven when we die. That it's about hope for someday. So we check in on Easter, maybe we check in on Christmas, and then we'll see you again next year, and if we keep checking in, then I guess we're okay, right? And by the way, if you're here today and I don't see you again until next year, that's fine. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for spending Easter with us today, and I hope that you are blessed by this service. But more than that, I hope that what you see this morning is that Easter isn't just about today, but it is about something that transforms every day. It is about something that transforms not only the future hope that we have, but it is about something that transforms the daily reality in which we live. You know, when I was growing up, the message that I caught was never really explicitly taught to me, but what I sort of caught implicitly was that being a Christian was about going to heaven someday when I died, and in the meantime, following the rules so that everybody would know that I was a Christian. Going to heaven someday when I die, and in the meantime, follow the rules so that everybody knows that I'm a Christian, right? So one time, I remember a conversation with somebody that I was going to mow my lawn on Sunday afternoon. And for some of you, you're scandalized that the pastor just said he was going to mow his lawn on Sunday afternoon. Said I was going to mow my lawn on Sunday afternoon, and the response was, but how will they know you're a Christian if you mow your lawn on Sunday? Hopefully, by the way that I love. Hopefully, by the whole totality of my life. Now, don't get me wrong. There's something wonderful about rest and about the patterns that God has given us for rest and how we can take a break from the daily grind of life. That's a whole different thing. But it's not about following the rules so that everybody knows that I'm a Christian. It's not about, okay, I checked that box, I go to church, I'm good enough, God forgives me, I'm going to go to heaven someday when I die, and in the meantime, I better make sure to keep the rules so everybody knows I'm okay. That is not the heart of the Christian faith. That is not the heart of the Christian story. The heart of the Christian story is that He is risen. He who was dead is alive, that we have been forgiven of our sins. We have been made right with God, not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, not because we worked so hard, not because we made enough money, not because we have the right reputation, not because we have the right degrees behind our name, but because God loves us by His grace. And through Jesus, He welcomes us into His family now and forever. And so the angel tells them, He's risen and He's going ahead of you into Galilee. Now, I said Jesus was a real person. His followers were real people who lived in a real time, in a real place, and that place was ancient Israel. Right? Jesus was from Galilee, up in the northern part of ancient Israel, right up there. He was crucified and died down here in Jerusalem in the southern part of ancient Israel. And so on a very practical level, when the angel says, go to Galilee, he's sending them to a very real place. But Galilee is more than just a geographic direction. The angel is telling them to do more than just go to a specific place in the world. The angel is telling them, go home. Go back to your ordinary and your routine. Go back to your everyday. Go back to the reality of your daily lives. Go back to Galilee. Go back to the place that is your normal. Easter begins in the ordinary. God meets us in the ordinary, and the extraordinary comes out of the ordinary. In our ordinary, God meets us with the extraordinary good news that Jesus is alive, but then He sends us back into the ordinary, utterly transformed by this amazing good news that Jesus is alive. You see, the message of the Christian faith isn't just that someday we can go to heaven when we die. Though absolutely there is a future hope that we are assured that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have hope forever. But it's also a message that fundamentally transforms today. Because the way that I do my job is transformed. Is transformed by the grace of Jesus and the reality that Jesus is alive. The way that we do our job is transformed. It means that when we go to work on Monday, when we go to work on Sunday afternoon, when we go to work whenever it is that we go to work, we aren't just earning a paycheck, but we're doing work that can build somebody else up, that can help somebody else, that can encourage somebody else. The reality that Jesus is alive fundamentally transforms how I parent my children. Because it means that there is a fullness of life and a joy and a hope for each and every day that comes from this amazing good news that Jesus is alive. It means that Jesus sets us free from addictions that hold us captive. It means that when we've given up hope that things will ever be different, when we've given up hope that this pattern of behavior in our lives can ever change, the Holy Spirit can bring new life. It means when our everyday, ordinary reality is grief, we might find hope. It means that if our everyday, ordinary reality is grief, we might find a peace that passes all understanding. We heard that testimony. I keep thinking back to when Brian, who you heard from earlier in the service, when Brian was diagnosed with cancer, he stood up here in front of this congregation. And he said, "We can sleep because you guys are praying for us." That is a peace that passes all understanding. That is a peace that comes only from the power of Jesus Christ alive in us. That is a peace, that is a power, a hope that isn't just for someday, but it is for today. It is for right now. That Jesus is alive utterly transforms our everyday. Easter begins in the extraordinary, in the ordinary, and God meets us with the extraordinary, but then brings it back into our ordinary daily lives, and our ordinary daily lives are transformed by this amazing news that Jesus is alive. The Apostle Paul, who was one of the leaders of the earliest church, this is the way that he put it in Romans chapter 12. He said, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." Because the hope of the Christian faith isn't just that one day we can go to heaven when we die. The hope of the Christian faith is that God is transforming this world and we get to be a part of it. The hope of the Christian faith is that God is transforming our lives right here and right now. The hope of the Christian faith is that together we get to be a part of what God is doing in this world. This is why we do things like a Feeding America mobile food pantry. Not just because we want to help people, but because we believe that through this, God is helping us be a force for the good in this world. That God is helping us bring just a little bit of the way things will be. That God is helping us transform our daily reality into just a little bit more the way things should be. We take our everyday, ordinary life. We take the way that we parent our kids. We take the way that we relate to our spouse. We take the way that we relate to our children or our grandchildren or our parents. We take the way that we relate to our coworkers. We take the attitude that we bring into our jobs with us. We take the behaviors that we do when we're alone. We take the way that we spend our money. We take all of it and we offer it to God and we say, "Do with this what you will." We all want to know that we're going to be taken care of. We all want to know that we're doing something meaningful. And the hope of Easter, that Jesus is alive, fundamentally transforms everything we do. But we don't have to have it all figured out yet. The women hurry away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. They don't have the answers. They don't know what all of this means yet. They don't have a whole system of beliefs all worked out because they just found out that Jesus is alive. They don't have all of the answers, but they go towards where Jesus is going to be. Let me be the first to tell you, I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers. And if I ever pretend that I have all the answers, I need somebody to like smack me upside the head and tell me, you don't have all the answers. None of us have it all figured out. But we don't have to. They go away from the tomb toward Galilee, towards where they've been told Jesus is, and suddenly Jesus met them. Friends, we don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all of your questions settled. But you can begin going towards Jesus. And I promise you that if you open your heart to Jesus and you begin moving towards where Jesus is going to be, I promise you that you will meet Jesus. Maybe not the way that you think, maybe not when you expect, but I promise you that you will encounter Jesus, because when we are headed towards Jesus, I promise you, you aren't headed towards Jesus unless Jesus is headed towards you. We find what we're looking for by moving towards Jesus. We find what we're looking for by moving towards Jesus. We want to find meaning in our daily life. We want to feel like what we're doing is about more than just going through the daily motions. Friends, I promise you, we find what we're looking for when we move towards Jesus. We want to find the ability to have hope and peace in the midst of life's ups and downs, when we aren't sure that we can ever hold on to our lives, when we're not sure that we can keep everything under control. By the way, I promise you, you can't keep it under control, because none of us can, because there are no guarantees. We want to find that ability to feel like we have things under control. We find what we're looking for. We find that meaning and fulfillment when we move towards Jesus. We want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We want to be a part of fixing what's broken in this world. Friends, we find what we're looking for when we move towards Jesus. We want to experience a deeper relationship with God. We want to take our faith to a deeper level and experience more of the hope of that Jesus is alive. Friends, we find what we're looking for when we move towards Jesus. We want to feel like we belong, no matter who we are, like we're accepted. Friends, we find what we're looking for when we move towards Jesus. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be able to say that you can check every box, that you know everything about the Christian faith. You don't have to be able to sign on to absolutely everything absolutely everything that you can say, I've got it all figured out, because none of us do. But you find what you're looking for. We find what we're looking for when we move towards Jesus. The angel said to them, you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen. Friends, this amazing news that Jesus is alive isn't just for someday. It isn't just for once or twice a year. It will transform everything. But you don't have to have it all figured out. Let's pray. God, this news, this story is more than we can figure out on our own. It's more than we can comprehend. It's more than we can wrap our minds around. But God, we know that it can change everything for us. God, help us to move towards you. Open our heart just a little bit more to this amazing news that you're alive, that you are changing and transforming everything. Help us to move towards you. Even if we don't have it figured out, God, calm our fears, calm our hearts and minds, and help us just to say yes, yes to you. God, if we're here and we're asking ourselves that question for the first time, we're asking ourselves for the first time maybe, what difference does Easter make? Amaze us with this news that it changes everything. God, we give you all of ourselves, our whole life. We offer our ordinary, everyday reality to you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, the risen Lord, we pray. And we all say together, amen. Friends,